Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
Let's go ahead and get in the book of Genesis tonight, Genesis 37. We're going to try to finish chapter 37 tonight. You do pray for Brother Keith as he's working with our teenagers tonight, and Brother Dennis, Miss Judy, as they work with the children. And pray for those that are still working, those that are out of town or so forth, so pray for them. And I'm glad that you're here. So Genesis chapter 37, I want to begin reading with you tonight in verse number, let's go to verse number 18. And we'll try to read verse 18 through 36. I know that seems to be a lot of verses, but it'd be good reading for you tonight so we can get right into this study tonight. Verse number 18 of Genesis 37. The Bible says, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." This is referring to the brothers, or the 10 elder brothers of Joseph. This is not including Benjamin, the youngest. The Bible says, "And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." Verse 23, "And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, and his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it, and they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, coming to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brother, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him unto the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph unto Egypt. And Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes. Verse 30, "And he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and they killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, This have we found. Know not whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it," verse 33, "and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourn for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, For I will go down into the grave and to my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him." And then the Bible says, verse 36, "And the Midianites sold him unto Egypt, unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard." Let's pray together. Lord, we sure thank you for another wonderful day of life. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings of protection, provision, the power, the presence of God that we've enjoyed today. We thank you for the privilege that we have as your people to, Lord, gather in this place, Lord. Lord, to hear the Word of God taught, Lord, from the book of Genesis. We thank you for, Lord, those that are sitting here in this auditorium. They've worked hard. They're, Lord, some may be tired, hungry, but Lord, they're here today, and we thank you for their presence. We thank you, Lord, for those that, Lord, will be downloading this sermon through the days and weeks to come, those that may be watching right now, Lord, through the new webcasting live. I pray that you'd bless that ministry. I pray that you'd help us tonight. Give me wisdom. Help me, Lord, to be a help, not a hindrance. And we'll thank you and praise you because you're always, always worthy of that. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Now, I'm not going to really step back much to the beginning part of chapter 37 because I've got some things I want to cover tonight that I believe will be a real blessing to our hearts. But I want to remind you that we studied the two dreams, or the two dreams that Joseph had. And of course, these two dreams that Joseph had was a prophecy of God concerning that one day he would rule and reign. He would one day be brought to a level of authority that his other 11 brothers knew nothing about. And you know how they envy and hated Joseph because of the two dreams. He basically revealed that the dreams were saying that you 11 brothers and even my father and my mother will bow down to me. Of course, with that, of course, you know the story. But I want to, with that being said, I want to say an important word about dreams. There's a lot of dreams that we read about in the Bible. A lot of times we read about someone having a vision. The Old Testament is filled with people having dreams and people having visions, even in the New Testament. Three examples in the New Testament, folks having a vision would be Joseph. You remember Joseph and Mary when the Lord was born, when Herod wanted to slay Jesus, that the Bible says Joseph had a dream and God said, flee to Egypt, take Mary and take the child Jesus to Egypt. Then another example would be Peter, as he was waiting for the meal to be fixed. He was praying and the Bible says that he had a vision of a man saying, come down and help us. And it was, of course, Cornelia. And the message was from God to preach to the Gentile nation, Gentile people. And then last is what we've been studying in Revelation is John. John had a vision. And so we know that the Bible is full of men of God that have had dreams or visions. But there's also instances or examples in the Bible where people had false dreams. There's also stories in the Bible where Satan calls someone to dream, or someone to have a vision. And we're living in a day and age, and you can watch some of the religious television stations, hear some of the radio broadcasts, and they'll say, I had a dream or I had a vision. I want to say to you tonight that you better be weary of people like that. When folks say they've had a dream or they've had a vision, you better be careful with folks like that. I want to show you some things about a dream in the Word of God, just for a little while before we get into the latter part of chapter 37, and try to compare it with what we have today in the New Testament church. I want to say, first of all, the reason that we need to understand this, the reason that these men in the Old and even in the New Testament had dreams or visions that were from God. There was no doubt God spoke to Joseph, flee to Egypt. There was no doubt that God spoke to Peter, go preach to the Gentile nations. No doubt God spoke to John, the Revelator, and give us the book of Revelation. No doubt that Joseph was spoke to by God. His father Jacob, the dream of the ladder to heaven, that was from God. God was taking the opportunity to reveal His will, His Word, His way to that particular person and ultimately to their descendants and to the nation Israel. But today, the reason that we don't have dreams and visions and we don't put any stock in that is because we have something that they did not have. They did not have the complete Word of God. You think about people in the Word of God in the book of Revelation, Jeremiah, let's use him for example. Jeremiah had pieces of the Word of God. He probably had the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses of God, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He probably had the story of Job. I believe that Moses shared the book of Job, the story of Job with the Israelites while they were in bondage Egyptian bondages. I believe the oldest book in the Bible is Job. And so he probably had those six books, and I don't know what if he had pieces of other written Word of God in his at his disposal. But even with Jeremiah just having pieces of the Word of God, you and I, what, I want you to mark this down, understand it. And if you've not been here for the King James study, maybe sometime we'll have it again. But I'm telling you, the Bible is complete. It is perfect. There is no more to add to it. The Catholic Bibles that they say, well, this ought to be part of the book of Maccabees and all, they ought to be part of the Bible. It's hogwash from hell. These books, from the 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 books of the New Testament, 66 books, are inspired and preserved by God Himself. We have a completed copy of God's Word. They did not. And because they did not, God spoke to them His will, His Word, His way in dreams and in visions. Now, I want to say to you that God would choose certain men and He would allow them to have a dream as Jacob did, as Joseph did, these two dreams. And these dreams were not from the heart of the dreamer. It came from the heart of Almighty God. And I want to you to understand that. Not all dreams, though, that we read about in the Bible came from God either. I believe that dreams today, two reasons why, besides this, I have a Bible, but the second reason I put no stock in dreams or visions is because they are sometimes self-induced. I've had thoughts about things and dream about it. My daughter the other day, our little beagle got lost. She actually went looking for that little dog, and she was really tore up by the dog. She had a dream that she found Bailey. Well, we found Bailey today. Second of all, she had a dream. We had a black snake on the back steps the other day. She come out the door. First time I've ever seen a snake living on this property. Tim's ran over one, but I've never seen no snake. First one. And he was on the steps. And Morgan come out ready to have a good time. And she ran in faster than she ran out. I promise you that. And she said that snake jumped off the steps and we don't know where it went. I've looked for it. It's probably under the house somewhere having a, enjoying his nice cozy hotel underneath the house. I don't know. So now Angie has to go into the house and get stuff that I need. Amen. But jet black snake. Well, you know what? She had a dream that night, didn't she, about seeing a black snake. Dreams so often are self-induced. You think about something too much or too often, a lot of times you'll have a dream. Now, I know we have so many dreams a night that we don't even remember. We don't know. I forgot the number of dreams they say we have at night. But they're self-induced. Number two, they can be Satan-influenced. They can be influenced by Satan. Satan can influence what you dream. Those are three reasons why I do not trust or put stock in dreams and put stock in visions. Now, I'm going to show you four things. Is it four? Four things, and this is wonderful. This will help you. Because I'm telling you, you watch some of the religious broadcasts. I had a dream. You better listen to what this preacher man tells you tonight, okay? I don't have an agenda against them. I don't have an agenda against anybody. I want to be true blue to God and to His Word. And I'm going to give you scripture tonight why dreams and visions in this age we live is not permissible. It is not the will of God. Why? Because He never puts anything above His Word. It's His Word, not a dream. Those that like to put their stock in dreams, they like to put their faith in a vision, they've got some serious spiritual trouble. They're trying to push away God's Word. This is where you put your faith in. This is where you put your stock into, not in dreams and not in visions. Now, so many people get more excited about dreaming a dream than they do about reading God's Word. They get more excited about dreaming a dream than reading God's Word. But I'm telling you better stick to the book. Stick to the infallible, inerrant, accurate Word of God. You'll never fail that way. I want you to look in Jeremiah 23 with me. I want to show you something. Keep your finger there in Genesis 37, please. And let's go to Jeremiah chapter number 23. I noticed that as we're speaking of this, and I can't see the face of those that may be watching tonight, those that will be downloading, I believe we had almost, it was like 80 already has downloaded last Wednesday night's message. So, we thank God for the ministry. Thank God for Brother Harmon. But if you're with us, sitting beside the internet Bibles and look in Jeremiah chapter number 23. Jeremiah 23, and we're talking about these dreamers and these people that put faith in their stock and visions. In Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah was a prophet sent by God. Let me say this quickly. That was to prophesy God's word to the children of Abraham, children of Israel. What was the prophecy? He was to tell them, you are going into captivity. And you are going into captivity because of your sin. You have backslid against God. And he also said that you are going into captivity and you will stay in captivity for 70 years. Jeremiah told him, you will be in captivity and it will last 70 years. That was not the word of Jeremiah. That was the word of the Lord. Read the Old Testament over and over, and the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah, or Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, whoever it was, the word of the Lord. And that's what they spoke. But we need more preachers like that today. Don't want to hear from them. We want to hear from the Lord. Amen? Amen. And so he is prophesying. And look what it says in verse 25 of chapter 23. Just like any good man of God, when he tries to tell the truth, and there's people just don't like it. And they want to hear something else instead of the truth. He said, I've heard, this is the Lord speaking. Excuse me, I've heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying what? I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? The Lord said, how long are they going to continue with this? I have a dream. Okay, I've dreamed. He says, yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? Like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and they cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. I believe that's very clear there, isn't it? God says, those people run around saying, I've dreamed. Don't worry about what Jeremiah said. Why? Because we didn't like what he said. We don't want to hear that God's going to judge our sin. We don't want to hear that we're going to be in captivity. We don't want to hear that for 70 years. We don't hear that. And so these false prophets rise up, and here's what they say. We don't have the Word of God, but I tell you what we do have. We had dreams. And this was our dreams. Everything's going to be all right. These false prophets were going around the days of Jeremiah saying, we're going to be okay. Nothing's going to happen to us. We're going to prosper. Guess what happened? The dreams came up to be false, and the Word of God remained faithful. They were captive for 70 years because of their sin. Be very aware of those that say they've been given dreams. When I think of someone been given a vision since the Word of God's been completed, now understand, during the days, the biblical days, when the Word of God was being wrote, before the 66 books were complete, yes, God worked through dreams. Yes, God worked through visions. But now we have, the Bible says, a more sure word of prophecy. There's nothing more sure, more accurate, has more authenticity, more accuracy than the Word of Almighty God. God never said that He would preserve somebody's vision forever. God never says in His Word that He would preserve their dream forever. What He did say was, His Word is forever settled in heaven. You have a blessed book tonight, the Word of God, the written Word of God. I'm going to give you this. Four reasons that I want you to think about when we look at the Bible, the written Word, which is the Bible, against dreams and visions. We'll let dreams have a partner to make it fair, okay? We'll let dreams have a tag team partner, and we'll put visions in there. And dreams and visions are going to come against the Bible. Let's see what happens. First of all, the reason that you trust the Bible or you are put confidence in God's Word and not dreams and vision is because the Bible is more detailed. It covers more subjects than dreams do. God's Word, written Word, is more detailed. What are dreams? They are limited. Dreams, visions are limited. The one man that I failed to mention, I just said I was going to mention a man when I think about dreams, is the what we call the father of the Mormon church, Joseph Smith. He believed he had a vision from God. He believed, now this is funny to me, I think it's hilarious. That's the way false religions are, they're just hilarious to me, they don't make any sense. But whenever they were writing the Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith sat at a table and he told people that an angel gave him some tablets, which was the Word of God. Joseph Smith says this, Brother Bob, he said that he just felt like that this right here was just not perfect. He felt there was problems. He didn't know what type of religion was the right religion. And so he said he went to the woods. And he had prayer time. Okay? And he went and prayed. He said, God, I want you to reveal to me what is the truth. The Mormons will tell you today that the Book of Mormons is more superior and accurate than God's Word. They'll tell you that. They say the Book of Mormons is God's Word, but they'll say that's the right God's Word. And so he got these tablets. Now he had to have a special pair of glasses to read the tablets. So he sat down on the other side of a curtain. And a writer sat on the other side of the curtain with pen and paper. And what Joseph Smith said verbally, dictated from his lips, the other man on the other side of the curtain wrote. And that is how, my friends, we have the Book of Mormons today. Some man hiding behind the curtain. You ought to be on the Wizard of Oz, by the way, you're going to hide behind a curtain. Hide behind a curtain. He's got to wear special glasses just to read the tablets that came from God. And this other man who could not see what was going on was to write everything Joseph Smith said. That's foolishness. That's from Satan. It's from hell. Thank God for God's holy, accurate Word. And so the Bible is more detailed. Dreams are limited. Number two. The Bible is more trustworthy. The Bible is more trustworthy. So what do you mean, preacher? When somebody has a dream or a vision, they're the only one that had it. I've never laid in bed at night and had a dream because I had too much pepperoni pizza, whatever it was, Chinese at 10 o'clock. And I wake up in the morning and my wife says, I had a dream last night. You're not going to believe this. And I said, I did too. And she described her dream and it was exactly like my dream. It's never happened. The only one that knows that dream, every detail, is the one that dreamed it. Are you with me? The only one that knows, My wife may tell me about dreams tonight, and she may not give me every detail. She may tell me about some long-lost love she got to meet again in a dream. She might not want to tell me that part, amen. Thank God she don't. But I'm telling you, the Bible is trustworthy. Dreams can only be known exact by the dreamer. So what can happen then, the dreamer can subtract certain things, and the dreamer can add certain things. Are you with me? In other words, the dream is kind of like a secret. Only one person dreamed it. This is not a book that's in secret. Everybody can have a Bible. This is an open book. This is not some secret. Anybody can read it, any language, any nationality, any time of the day, color, skin, doesn't matter. You can read this book, and this is God's Word. It is more trustworthy than somebody saying, I had a dream. If I was to walk in here in this pulpit Sunday morning and say, Church, we're going to make a decision, a big decision. And if I made that decision based on some dream I had, you better pray to God I get some marble straightened out in my head. Amen? So often men that have used God's name for prophet will use dreams and they will add things and they will subtract things so that it might pad their nest. It might give them a name. Are you with me? It's funny how sometimes you watch TBN and them guys always have dreams about so many people giving so many money, so much money. They always have that dream. I had a dream that we've got 50 people out there in the audience tonight. 50 people can give $500, I believe. It's always about money when it comes to dreams. And amazing. Amazing. You can have that for free. I'm telling you, it's a bunch of garbage from hell. Dreams, number one, are not as detailed as the Bible is. The dreams are limited. Number two, the Bible is more trustworthy. Only the dreamer knows the exact dream. Only the dreamer knows the exact vision. And he can add to it as he will, and he can take away as he will. Number three, the Bible outranks dreams and visions in power and authority. Nothing is more authoritative than the Word of God. Dreams, no matter who dreams them, now this is since the Word of God's been complete. Dreams, no matter who dreams them, has no authority. Have no authority. They have visions, have no power. The Word of God outranks anybody's dream, anybody's vision. Are you with me tonight? I'm trying to help you. There's only one book that's forever settled. It's the Word of God. Number four. Let me say this about number three. We don't use dreams and we don't use visions to check the accuracy or the authenticity of the Bible. We don't do that. We don't do that. We don't use dreams, we don't use visions to check this Bible out. No. This is the final authority. This is the final authority. Number four, the Bible is more certain than dreams and visions. The Bible is more certain than dreams and visions. You know what happens with our dreams? We forget them. I wish I knew the number. I failed to get that. I didn't think about it until I stood here tonight. Of how many dreams they say we have in a night and I guess 99% of them we just, or maybe higher, we have no idea we dreamed it. No idea. Why? Dreams are not reliable. The Word of God is. The Word of God is staying. The Word of God is more certain than dreams because we'll forget dreams. And what happens about dreams, you know, you may remember a dream for a day, two, three, four, a week. But as time goes, the dream kind of gets foggy in your mind and you kind of change the details, don't you? You didn't really mean to, but you said, I can't remember. It's the way dreams are. Dreams are like a vapor. They just hear and boom, they're gone. The Word of God is more certain than a dream. It's more certain than a vision. We have the written copy of God's Word and God has preserved His Word. Now let's go to verse number 18. I hope that helped you tonight. All I want to do is help you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And I'm telling you, we're in that day and age where so many people are hanging on the dreams, hanging on the visions by God. God wants us to do. Listen, God has completed His Word. If you want an answer, go to God's Word. Amen. Go to the Word of God. All right, now verse number 18. The Bible says here that Joseph, he's had those dreams, and that his elder 10 brothers are gone down to, they went to Shechem first to feed the sheep, and now they've gone to Dothan. Okay? Now, Dothan was located north of Shechem. If we were to look at a map, you would see at the very bottom, more south, would be the Dead Sea. Flowing north into the Dead Sea is the Jordan River. Flowing from the Jordan River flows from the Sea of Galilee or Tiberias Sea. Alright, you got that. To its west, you have very extreme north, Dothan. Then you have Shechem south, and then you have Bethel south, and then you have Hebron. Hebron was where Isaac was dwelling and living, and Jacob was, Isaac was, then Jacob went to Bethel, El Bethel. And now, there in Bethel, Jacob has sent Joseph to Shechem. He's going north. His brother not there. Someone tells him, keep going north. They're in Dothan. He finally finds them in Dothan. All right, here's what happens. The Bible says that when they, the 10 brothers, saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Now, we've already read about the evil in the hearts of these 10 brothers. Is that right? Can I get a witness? Do you remember the evil in the hearts of these 10 brothers? They hated Joseph for his dreams. 3 times it says they hated Joseph, and 1 time it says they had envy towards Joseph. We already know of the evil in their heart. But now we're going to see the evil in their thoughts. Now this, there's something developing here that we'll relate to in today's life. They had an evil heart. Next, they had evil thoughts. And here's the thoughts. They saw him and they conspired. Their thoughts were what? Let's kill him. Let's get rid of him. Let's slay him. The Bible says that what a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Jeremiah was told by God that the heart is wicked above all things. Desperately wicked. And so it starts with the evil in the heart. I've told you this, the problem with people today is not their hands, their eyes, their feet, their mouth, their thoughts, their hearing. The problem is their heart. That is where it originated from. So it started with evil in their heart. Now they have evil, Brother Chris, in their thoughts. And because they had evil in their thoughts, now, verse 19, they're going to have evil in their words, in their lips. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. It started in their heart. The evil was in their heart. And then the evil went to their thoughts and their mind. And instead of getting it right and getting it fixed, the evil next went to the words. Are you with me? To the words. Then, ultimately, the last place it went, from the heart, the thoughts, from the words, to their hands. Had it in their heart. They thought about it. They talked about it. They developed the plan. And then they did it. Are you with me? If you want victory over a lifestyle of sin, if you want victory over some sin you're doing in your life, then it's got to start by getting your heart right. To get your heart right. Because if your heart's not right, the thoughts won't be right. If the thoughts don't get right, the lips. Everybody that's ever been down and discouraged, defeated, they always portray it in what they say. You can hear the way they talk. Are you with me? I've been in this thing long enough to know I'm telling the truth. You can hear it by the way they talk. And if you don't get some help spiritually, you'll be just like these 10 brothers. It'll finally develop to actions. Your hands. And that's where this went. Oh God, help us get our heart right. Evil thoughts are seeds of evil conduct. I want to say this. Every man that's ever had an affair on his wife, it just didn't happen. It started with a thought. Every person that's ever murdered, it started with a thought. Are you with me? Every person that ever quit church, Brother Bobby, it started with a thought. God help us to get our thoughts right. God help us to think on things that are things, holy things, because you can't control it. It'll get out of hand in a hurry. Heart, thoughts, speak it, do it. All right? Joseph heads to Dothan. Now, why do you believe they're at Dothan? Well, if you study Dothan, I said it was extreme north of Hebron and of Bethel, and of course Shechem, and it's all the way up there close to the Sea of Galilee. Even today, Dothan is known for its great green pastures. It's known for its land filled with cisterns and reservoirs, we call them today. If you were to go to Dothan today, you would see there were water reservoirs all over the land. Some were empty and dry. Some contained water. This may be the dry time of the year. This may be a time where in Shechem, they couldn't find the grass for their herds or flock. They couldn't find the water. So they knew Dothan was the ideal place to go. So they go up to Dothan to feed their flock. And that's why the Bible says that they found a pit to throw Joseph in. Because Dothan was covered with cisterns or reservoirs. Some had water, some did not. And so he shows up. And so because they're in Dothan, he says to them, the brothers say to each other, let's throw them in a pit. Let's throw them in a pit. Let's throw them in one of these cisterns. Let's throw them in one of these reservoirs. We're going to see four things in closing tonight. We're going to see the capture of Joseph. We're going to see the cruelty of Joseph's brothers. We're going to see the captivity of Joseph to the Midianites. And finally to the Egyptian ruler. And last of all, we're going to see the controlling hand of God in it all. First of all, let's look at the capture of Joseph. The Bible says in verse number 29, they thought this plan up. They got to get on this thing, and they said, we're going to see what becomes of his dreams. Reuben heard it. He's the eldest son of Jacob. He heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Okay? He heard they were all there together, and I don't know who is the one that started this. I would guess it was Simeon, because the way that Joseph spoke to Simeon when he was a ruler, he talked to Simeon as a one that was a murderer. Simeon did murder already. He had a blood for it. He had murdered those people, men of Shechem. And so maybe it was Simeon that got the ball rolling. Maybe he did, and he was second in line. It was Reuben and then Simeon. Reuben is going to be unstable as water. He's a compromiser. He's scared to death to do anything right or wrong. And so Simeon steps to the plate and he says, let's kill him. All the brothers say, good idea. Let's get rid of him. Reuben says, wait a minute. Well, I don't want to kill him. I don't want to know that I killed my brother with my own hands. He said, preacher, ain't that just so wonderful? Well, Reuben's not as a good old boy as you think he is. And so he says to them, he says, let's not kill him. He said, shed no blood, verse 22, cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him. Okay? He said, let's just throw him in a pit. Now, I want to show you something in verse number 19 and 20 before we end this. I've got about 16 minutes, so I've got to hurry. I want you to see three things that is here in verse 19 and 20. I said earlier, now don't lose me, I said earlier that when Joseph told his two dreams, he was not speaking his will. Are you with me? He was speaking God's will. He was speaking God's way. We know, ultimately looking back, that Joseph became second in command of Egypt, and through that power and authority, he saved the seed. He saved Israel. He saved Jacob and all his brethren from starving to death. If they would have died, there'd be no Israel. God, we know that ultimately. Okay? We know that. So, the dreams, the two dreams that Joseph told his brothers, and his dad, by the way, were not originated in his heart. It came from God. These brothers should have listened to what Joseph said. Even Jacob should have listened to it. Because Jacob had heard from God the same way in dreams. Jacob should have realized, maybe that's why the Bible says that he thought on it. Even though he rebuked Joseph, he still thought about that. You know, maybe there's something to this. I never read whether the other brothers up to this point had ever had a vision or dream from God. Only Joseph did. God's hands on this boy, 17 years old. And so, he's coming. Now watch these three things. Joseph, get this in mind. You've got to understand this. When Joseph told his dreams, ultimately, what was he speaking? He was speaking, right, God's Word. Are you with me? Do you understand that? He was speaking God's Word. He was just saying what God said to him. That's all he was doing, Brother Jimmy. So, understand that. So, there's three things about these 10 elder brothers that I want you to see. And we can see that it goes on today when men just speak God's Word. Number one, notice these 10 brothers that they were adversaries to the proclaimer of God's Word. They were adversaries to the proclaimer of God's Word. Who proclaimed God's Word? Joseph. Joseph, when are you with me? Some of you are not with me. When Joseph proclaimed the two dreams, he was speaking God's Word. The dreams came from God. They were a prophecy that God would exalt Joseph and use him in a great way. So when Joseph told those dreams, he was speaking God's Word. He was the proclaimer of God's Word, and they were an adversary of it. Prove it to me. Watch this. Verse 19, they said when he was coming, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." Do you think that's a positive attitude? Do you think that's a supportive attitude of the proclaimer of the message? Absolutely not. They had hatred in their heart towards this proclaimer of God's Word. They had envy towards this proclaimer of God's Word. They said, "Here comes this dreamer." They were not speaking in a favorable manner about Joseph. Listen to me. If a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, a Sunday school teacher, or just an average Christian that sits on the pew and never holds an office in the church, even if they go to their job, and if they choose to speak God's unadulterated Word of God, if they choose to speak the straight-laced truth, God's Word, there will be those that will speak against you. I've had them. I still got them today. No matter how much I try to love, preach, pray, they are my adversary because I'm a proclaimer of God's Word. Joseph was a proclaimer. They were his adversary. If you're going to live right, you better mark it down. There are going to be folks that will not speak favorably to you. They're going to run you down. Yeah, they might a lot of times do it behind your back. You may not know much about it, but they're doing it. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you, but that's how it works. All right, they were adversaries of the proclaimer of God's Word. Number two, they were adversaries to the precepts of God's Word. What is a precept? A precept is an injunction. An injunction is a command, a judicial command, a command by a judge or one, a ruler. The precepts of God, there is no ultimate more of a ruler than God. His precepts or His commands on how to live is in this book. The Word of God is called the precepts of God. It's called the statutes of God. It is called the Word. There's many terms used to describe the Bible, and one of those is precepts of God. They are were adversary of the precept of God. This is seen when the brothers called the will and the Word of God nothing more but the dreams of Joseph. Watch verse number 20. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of what? His dreams. They called God's word, God's will, God's way, nothing but a man's dream. They called it Joseph's dream. We're living in a day and age where people have so belittled the Word of God and said it's nothing but the Word of man. That's all it is. That's exactly what the ten brothers did. They called God's Word that Joseph spoke to them dreams. I've heard it said before. They'll say this is a fairy book full of fairy tales. What are they doing? They're degrading, belittling God's infallible Word. They called, Brother Bobby, the Word of God dreams of a man. I'm telling you, it's my responsibility when I stand behind the sacred desk, Sundays and Wednesdays, or any other time I'm preaching or speaking, wherever it may be, I have to understand, and I'm determined to understand this, that I've got to speak what thus saith the Lord. I've had people that are no longer here. I didn't shoot at them. People said, you stepped on my toes today. I feel bad when they say that. Because I never have aimed at toes, Miss Tina. I've always aimed at the heart. I got to get the aim right if I'm shooting at toes. I'm not trying to shoot your toes. Right? I'm trying to get your heart. And I'm telling you what, these people said God's Word was nothing but a man's dream. I've heard people say, I don't like what that preacher said. He said this. And on every occasion, I've heard that, Brother Allen. Bible for what I said. You might as well say I didn't like what God said, because that's where it comes down to. It wasn't my words, it's God's Word. I've never got mounted the pulpit without this book. I've never done a funeral without this book. I've never even done a wedding without this book. I did a wedding not long, a couple years ago on a houseboat in the middle of Lake Lanier on the very top deck, didn't we, dear? Rocking and a rolling. They said, we just want a little old wedding on a boat. Guess what? Three particular things went. Me, the minister, my wife, and this book. It's God's Word. I've got to teach it. I've got to preach it. It'll hair lip a lot of people. It'll hair lip these ten brothers. I don't want to be part of this crowd of these ten brothers. I want to say it's God's Word, and we're just going to have to accept it and get right with the Lord. They were adversaries, number one, to the proclaimer of God's Word. Number two, Brother William, they were adversaries to the precepts of God's Word. And then number three, they were adversaries to the power of God's Word. Well, you see that, preacher. Thanks for asking. Look what it said, verse 20. Their plan was to slay him. He says, come now, let us slay him and cast him into a pit. And we're going to say, an evil beast hath devoured him. Watch this phrase. And we shall see, Brother Darrell, we shall see what will become of his dreams. What they said was this. They said, when the man is gone, the dreams will be gone. You know how many great men of God are gone? Great men of God like Joseph and Moses, Joshua, Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. They're gone. They're not on this earth anymore. There's Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Peter and Paul and Barnabas and James. They're all gone. Charles Spurgeon's gone. D.L. Moody's gone. Billy Sunday's gone. Lester Roloff's gone. Them men of God are gone. Guess what? It's still here. The messenger has left. They have departed. But the message is still here. Hallelujah. And they were adversary to the power of God's Word. They said, these dreams he's having, we'll get rid of the dreams because we're going to get rid of the dreamer. Guess what? There's many people thought that they would just get rid of the preacher. They'd quit coming to church. There was people in the Roman Empire that cut off the heads and slaughtered men of God. And they thought, we'll get rid of the messenger and the message will be gone. The message is still here. Hallelujah. I'll say this. I heard an evangelist say that he knew of another preacher that went to Rome and he went to the Colosseum. And a lot of people will deny that Christians were killed in the Colosseum. That's hogwash. Christians were killed in the Colosseum. They were torn to pieces by lions and wild bears and dogs and hogs. They were slaughtered by gladiators. There's countless stories of Christians during the Roman Empire that were killed in the Colosseum. Roman emperors tried to stamp out God's Word. The Roman emperor, I believe, was Titus. Domitian was a very wicked one. Nero's the one that had Paul and Peter both killed. He killed too. He's a wicked Roman emperor. And this man went to the Colosseum that was just pieces of it left remaining. And he went there and he stood as high as he could get with the tour group. And so he stood there and he looked over the grounds, Brother Tim, of that Colosseum floor. And he got thinking about all the Christians that had died for their faith. Their blood had dampened that grass or that dirt. And he thought about it. And he said he began weeping, thinking that was his own brothers in the Lord, his own sisters in Christ that died for their faith. And he said he got thinking about the words of these Roman emperors that they would destroy Christianity. They would destroy the Word of God. And he got thinking of all his preacher friends, of all the places he preached, of all the Sunday school teachers he knew about. He thought about all the missionaries and all the world, countries in the world that were getting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And boy, he said that he just stood there and as loud as he could, thinking that they tried to get rid of us. And this Colosseum in the Roman Empire is gone forever. And so he, as a Christian, said, we're still here! Hallelujah! I love that. We're still here. You didn't wipe us off the face of the earth. God's people have been preserved and protected. We're still here. They thought they'd get rid of the dreamer. They thought they'd get rid of the messenger. The message was still there. The message was still there. King Herod was one that wanted to get rid of a messenger. He had one of the greatest preachers that this world's ever seen. And that was the words of Jesus, by the way. And he was named John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he really preached to King Herod. He didn't care who King Herod was. He didn't care how powerful he was. He served a more powerful king. And he preached, and he told King Herod, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. He had stole his brother's wife, committed adultery with her. It's not right. The Bible says that he got tired of it, so he finally cut off the head of John the Baptist. What comes with the head? The mouth. What he did, Brother Wendell, is he cut off the mouthpiece of God. God sent a preacher to him to see him saved, to see him get right, and he cut it off. I wonder on Sunday, Wednesday night, how many people do that in these pews. That's dangerous. You may not want to hear what I got to say or God's laid on my heart, but you better listen. It's dangerous to cut the man of God off. He is the mouthpiece of God. And so what happened was, he cut the mouthpiece. And he thought to himself, watch this, he thought, now that John the Baptist is gone, I'll be comfortable. I won't be under that conviction anymore. I'll be okay. But then he had to stand before the ultimate preacher. He thought he got rid of the messenger, but he found out years later that the message still lived. The message is God's Word. And God's Word was made flesh. And He dwelt among us, and His name was Jesus Christ. Before Jesus was crucified, Jesus stood before King Herod. And I guarantee you, King Herod realized, I may have destroyed the messenger, but the message still goes on. There he stood. And do you know, I got to close. Do you know that Jesus wouldn't even say a word to Herod? He wouldn't even say that. He wouldn't even ask him how he's doing. He didn't say, O King, live forever. He wouldn't say a word to him. You're going to think I'm crazy, but I believe, Miss Tina, the reason that Jesus allowed His will was for Him to stand before a king, King Herod, was to show King Herod and to show you and I and all the world today, you may cut off the messenger, you may destroy all the messengers you want, but you'll never, never destroy the message. The message will prevail. And there stood the message that day. And King Herod was horrified. And he said, Are you Jesus? Are you? He tried to get Jesus to talk, and Jesus would not speak a word. You know why? Because King Herod could have thought, Miss Curry could have thought, you know, that one time I met Jesus, but He didn't talk to me. Wrong, King Herod. There were other times Jesus talked to you. He talked to you through a man named John the Baptist. Aren't you glad? I'm not saying this for me as a pastor. God knows my heart. But you ought to be glad, and everybody in this world ought to be glad, if you go to a church and you hear from Jesus. You hear from God. That's why some of these churches are not, they look like they're growing. They're not growing, they're swelling. Anything that's dead always swells. But it's always full of nasty, dead guts. It's full of deadness. It's swelling all right. It's not growing. It's swelling. I've heard people say, so-and-so church, now they're really growing. No, they're swelling. Because they don't have God's Word. God's Word. The only way you can grow spiritually is God's Word. Thank God for God's Word. And so I don't want to be part of those 10 brothers that were adversaries to the proclaimer of God's Word. Joseph only spoke what God said. Number two, I don't want to be an adversary of the precepts of God's Word. They said it's his dreams. No, it's not. You didn't hear from Pastor Lee tonight. You didn't hear, well, we're going down there and hear Pastor's Bible study. No, you're hearing God's Word study tonight. And then number three, they were adversaries to the power of God's Word. They said, we'll get rid of him and the dreams that go with him. They tried to get rid of him, but God protected him, didn't he? And we'll see more of that, Lord will, next Wednesday night. We'll start chapter number 38 next Wednesday night. I love each and every one of you. I thank you for being part of the Bible study tonight. I hope that you invite and prepare for this Sunday for our end of the school celebration. We always love to have a little insertment in our bulletin of any awards that our children hard work that accomplished. If they got an award in math or spelling or fine arts or whatever it was, please let my wife or Miss Lynn know, and we'll get that in the bulletin, and we'll recognize all the awards that our children received in the past school year. We'll have hot dogs for the kids and hopefully a snow cone machine and a slide, like a water slide type deal. And we'll do that right after service. The kids will go downstairs this Sunday with Brother Dennis. And so please invite neighbor kids and everything. And please, our desire here is not that they come just to the 1 o'clock activity. Our desire is to be at church at 11 o'clock. And I'm not being rude, but I don't think it's right or fair to not be at church at 11, but then show up for the activity after church. I wouldn't want to do that. I'd be scared to do that. I'd rather stay at home. And so make sure they know it all starts at 11 o'clock. The kids' choir will sing Sunday morning. We're going to recognize them and their awards. We're just going to have a big kids' day for them. And then they'll go downstairs for their Bible time, and then they'll have time. And you might give you a chance for you to go out and eat with your husband or wife while they're here. And so pray for that. We are going to take an offering up Sunday, a special offering. It's not tithes and offering. Please make sure you understand that. It is separate from our tithes and offering to help pay for these expenses. So you pray about that. You can give. You can give towards that. We've got to pay. Brother Dennis didn't have to pay for a snow cone machine, the slide. I know a lot of our folks are bringing whatever you're going to bring. I appreciate that. If you can help Brother Dennis or Miss Judy, please let them know, and we'll get they may get a list together what to bring. I don't know, but please be a help. It's an awesome time to serve not only your church and our children. We only do this once a year. We can give towards it, okay? Give towards it. But it's an awesome opportunity to serve the Lord. And so please remember that Sunday. If you have it tonight, give it to let Miss Angie or Miss Judy know. And they'll tally it up. We'll see what kind of offering we get. But we'll have a special offering besides your tithing offering on Sunday. And so I look forward to seeing all of you Sunday. So please come and invite folks to be in the house of the Lord, okay? Let's end in prayer. Does anybody want to mention anything you want us to pray about tonight? Anybody at all tonight? Got a special prayer request? Just speak it out loud. You don't have to raise your hand. Just go ahead. Brother Bobby's work is having meetings right now in the city of Doraville, and just really pray. Brother Bobby's put a lot of time, energy, effort, years into that job, and it's sad. Brother Wendell more or less was a casualty of that. Brother Tim Houston, and we just see so many people that's put so much energy and time, and the economy and just the ungodliness that we have in leadership, whether it be in our community, in our businesses, or in the state government or federal government, we're paying for that ungodliness. And so really pray for Brother Bobby and that job situation there, that God would just in that situation. Anybody else? Okay, keep praying for David. It's your uncle, right? Your uncle. So pray for Archie's uncle, that God would help and touch him. Continue to pray for Brady. He's been through a lot, but the Lord keeps helping that old boy. And so you just pray for Brady, Miss Wanda's father. God continue to help him. Brother Davis, we went and seen him, and just keep praying for him. If you want to call him, we have the number. We're going to be in the bulletin Sunday. And I would suggest if you go see him, you call him. He takes a lot of naps. He's very weary and weak. We had a wonderful meeting with him Tuesday, and he has got the peace of God all over him. He has got the joy of the Lord. He says none of you have to have a permit to come see him, but you do need to call. So he's awake. He has a nurse come over today and give him a bath and check him out. So you don't want to interfere with that. Brother Will and I, tomorrow, Lord Will, we'll go see him and do a little visiting. So do pray for Brother Davis. He's a good man of God, 93 years old. And I've asked him what he think about it. I asked him again Tuesday. And he believes it's not going to be long. He's going to see the Lord. That's his words. And he wept as we talked about it. And he talked about seeing his wife. He said, two times already, he's not putting stock in this, but it's like he could see in his mind his wife saying to him, "Come on, honey." Amen. Now he don't put stock in vision. He's just saying it just in his mind. He longs for his wife and for the Lord. So you just really pray for Brother Davis. Pray for her. Miss Sarah's been through a lot of medical issues in the last 2-3 weeks. She really needs our prayers too, so bathe her in prayer. Miss Johnny, I didn't know, was out of town. She's out of town this week. She was gone, so pray for her as she's traveling. And the other ones that are working. Anybody else want to say something before I dismiss in prayer? Unspoken? All right. I know there's many of those unspoken. Pray for Daryl and Tina with Jermaine. We're so glad that God's allowed us as a church to love Jermaine. And is he downstairs with you? Is Elijah here too? Good. Elijah may not go home. He loves Daryl and Tina. And so just continue to welcome Jermaine. Love him. He's been through a lot. He's been more or less just pushed to the side. But God has placed Daryl and Tina in his life. And so he's for someone that the world would say, oh, you don't have that love, he's going to get it. And I expect us as a church to be right in there loving that old boy. Amen. Love him and show your kindness to him. Okay, anything else before I pray? Okay, have I missed anything, Angela? Help me. All right, Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. I pray that in Christ's name you'd please help us. We'll be traveling home, Lord, on wet roads and maybe still some rain and thunderstorms in our area. So we ask you to give us protection. And I pray, Lord, you'd keep us safe tonight as we lay our head on our pillows. You'd give us all, Lord, a sweet sleep tonight. Lord, so we'll be prepared and ready to, Lord, not only work our jobs, but to work for you. We'll have a fresh mind, a fresh energy, Lord, so we can serve you with all our heart tomorrow. I pray for those that are working tonight that I know long to be here and not able to be here. I pray, Lord, you'll bless them. And Lord, there's others, Lord, that don't have that longing. Lord, there are members here, but they're in and out. I pray you'll deal with their heart. Lord, we want to see them grow. We want to see them, Lord, do something great for you. So please help them. And Lord, give us a heart for people like that. Lord, help our congregation to reach out to those brothers and sisters, Lord, that are wayward and falling away from your house. Help us, God, to be a witness. I pray for Archie's uncle, Dave. I pray you'll work in his heart and his health. I pray you'll help him during this time. Miss Wanda's dad, Brady, I pray you'll help him. Lord, several have unspoken, Lord. I pray that in Christ's name you would help those with the unspoken, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd help Brother Bobby, Lord, in the job, not only him, but those co-workers of his that he loves and that he cares for, that you would, Lord, please, Lord, work, Lord, in Brother Bobby's favor and help him, dear God. Help us all in times of distress and trouble to just trust you with all our heart. Lord, all the health issues, Lord, we've got folks that come regularly, Lord, that battle arthritis and diabetes and other issues that can knock them down day by day. Thank you for their faithfulness. Touch them, dear God, we beg you. Lord, we pray for Brother Davis, Miss Sarah, Lord, all our senior saints, Lord, Mr. and Mrs. Hicks, Mr. and Ms. Coker. Lord, we pray, Lord, for Miss Butler, Lord. We pray, Lord, for Miss Payne. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would help, Lord, all our senior saints, Miss Smith, Lord, Miss Bobby, Lord, all the senior saints, Lord, that are associated with us. Lord, please help, Lord, others that have parents, Lord, they love dearly. And, Lord, I pray you'll touch them, give them strength. Bless, Lord, our Sunday service. Lord, may we work hard to, Lord, not only give financially, but give ourselves to, Lord, not only our children, but also to our Lord. Please, Lord, please put your touch on Sunday service. Help us, Lord, to continue to have a heart as we do for children and teenagers. We love you. Keep us safe, dear God. We beg you. Help Brother Wendell, Lord, continue to touch him. Thank you, Lord, for the incredible work you're doing in his life. I pray you'll watch over us now. Bless us as we go. In Jesus Christ's name.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins,
is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.